And join me as we read from Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. Many of you may have this already memorized. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. At this time, we want to welcome Elder John to come up and give us a message on the fruits of the Spirit. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm very happy to be here this morning again. I enjoyed the relatively quiet and the reflective worship period with you. And I'd like to share with you this morning, continuing the Fruit of the Spirit series. We'll talk about patience this morning. It turns out that I'm not a very suitable or qualified person to talk about this particular topic. It's a topic that's for the quick. And when I was preparing for this, I had a little experience trying to fix something in the bathroom in the toilet. It's an evening that's very bad weather, so I decided tonight is the night because when the weather's really bad, the store's deserted. I can go to the store, it's a Walmart nearby, and exchange the part that I bought earlier, which was the wrong parts, and so I can put it up. So I think this is great. I hate lines. I absolutely hate lines. So, at the evening, I waited a little bit, so it's getting really a little bit late, and also weather's getting really bad. So I drove myself to the Walmart. Store's basically deserted. I quickly went to the plumbing department, get the parts, three parts that I need, returning the two parts that was wrong, and I did calculation quickly. It was easy calculation, and I owe the store something like $3. So I put these things on the counter, and there's a young lady who was going to help me. And she said, "You're going to return these and buy these?" I said, "Yes." She asked for my card. I gave her a card. And then this sort of unbelievable sequence that happened. She decided first she's going to take off the items, the first item that I was returning. So she beeped the thing. After she beeped, she said, "Oops." And I usually hate oops. She said, "Oops." What happened? I have returned this twice. She made too much return. So she decided she's going to add this back and so that she can do this right. So she aimed at the thing, the phone rang. So she answered the phone. No, that sequence. I mean, then there's a guy who came to talk to her. This young lady was, I don't know, she's so happy to see this guy. And afterwards, so where was I? I said, "You're going to add something." "Oh, yeah." So she said, "Beep." And she added three times. Now, they owe me. strange. She said, "Well, let's see. I returned," I said, "three times." I said, "I'm returning one item to you, okay?" That's not right. So she took a pen out, she started to crawl things out, and she decided that's not quite right. She's going to fix it. Now, the things are getting, I mean, I think you are probably already lost. What to do next, right? So she proceeds, I think the machine, there's something wrong with the machine also. She proceeds to produce a list about a foot long. There's so many returns and so many credits, and she couldn't keep track. I probably couldn't keep track. The phone kept running, and this man doesn't want to go away. And half an hour, I said, "Let me return to you $3. That's what I owe you. Trust me. I teach math. This is $3. She said, "No, no, 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 no. The computer must be right." Oh, That's the night I decide I'm going to prepare for patience. I'm a so-called type A person. The type A person recognizes that everybody has 24 hours. But we want to do more. So in order to do more, what do? You work faster, right? You try to walk fast, eat fast, and drive fast, talk fast, and you do everything faster so you can get more things done. Type A personality usually have heart attacks faster, sooner, and they also die faster, unfortunately, but at least they don't have to wait. But the fruit of the Spirit is patience. At least we're focusing on that particular aspect today. A Christian experience is an experience meeting our Lord and have our life renewed or changed by Him. If we know Christ and our life remain to be the same, then there's really no reality or substance to that faith. This is the message that I need for myself, and I want to share with you some of the thinking that goes into the preparation of this message. Let's pray. But I pray that you speak to our hearts. You know our needs. You created us. You made us. You know us. Father, we also pray that you renew our spirit, renew our character, that as we sit here and meditate about your words and allow our words to be transformed by your word, allow our heart and our character to be transformed by your words, as we walk out later this morning, we may be new men. I pray that you'll do these wonderful things in our lives. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in the age that we no longer believe in patience. There's a man by the name of George Grenville. He was a former UK foreign secretary. He said, patience is the virtue of an ass. The beast of a burden. It's a virtue of an ass who treads beneath his burden and complains not. That's what patience is. I mean, if you can do something about it, you don't need to be patient. Ambrose Bierce said, patience is a noun, a minor form of despair disguised as a virtue. We no longer really believe in patience. So we live in a nation, somebody will call a nation of fast food, for instance. Eric Schlosser wrote a book about 3 years ago describing our culture through the eyes of the fast food stores. At any given day, 1/4 of the American citizens will be eating fast food. That's a lot. Hundreds of millions of people are eating that. Fast food, so we spend on fast food a year about $110 billion. And they did some calculations, survey. They said people that walk into a McDonald's, then you order things, you sit down and you eat, you come out. The average duration for an American to have a McDonald's meal is 14 minutes. That really surprises me. It only took me 5. No more than 5. You go in, you buy, you eat, you come out. And in this sort of instant society, we have instant everything, instant cereal, instant coffee, instant message, mail too slow, called snail mail. Mail has to go at the speed of light. That's email. And we talk about instant antiques. I recently bought a Persian rug. It's tea washed. You know what the tea washed Persian rug means? It made it look as if it's an antique. It's an instant antique. In California, there are drive-through funeral service. You don't need to change. You don't need to get out of your car. You just sort of drive through. Too bad. And drop in something. And drive off. Isn't that nice? We have instant, I mean, Las Vegas, you can, there's sort of a drive-through or instant a chapel which you get married. And down the road, I presume there's an instant divorce court or something which you can, you fight in the car, and the next stop you can get divorced. Everything can be done quickly. Patience. What is patience? Do we need patience? Throughout humanity, that people, philosophers and saints always tell us the importance of patience, except in this modern society, we no longer feel that's necessary or needed. There's a book, a very telling book by David Elkin, a doctor, who is a psychiatrist, I think he's a pediatrician. He wrote a book called The Hurried Child. It talks about the, especially in the Western society, the parents rush their kids. So the kids doesn't even have a childhood. That they, before they know it, they're already an adult. A rushed, a hurried kid. And so there's a lot of stress that's for the kids. And they're 7 years old, they have ulcers. And all kinds of problems that results from this sort of impatience. And people are impatient for everything, basically. If you want something, you buy it, but you don't have the money, borrow. So we can have things immediately. How much money did they borrow? The consumer credits, about 2 years ago, I think it's about 1.98 trillion. Trillion is a number I don't think you have any idea. Trillion has a lot of zeros, 12 of them. 1.98 trillion, so you have dollar bills, you pile them up, dollar by dollar. When you get to about $2 trillion, this pile reaches the moon. And then you can pile from the moon, it comes back to Earth. That's $1 trillion. It's astronomical. That's how much money we sort of owe to the credit companies. And that does not include mortgage. If you add that, it's something like $6 trillion. It's truly a large number. How come we owe so much money? Because we want it, and we want it now. That's basic results. We mortgage our future. We worry about in the future how to pay them back. And that's the world that we live in. It affects us. It affects how we view our lives, the values of our lives, and also it affects us how we interact with people, and also how we look into at eternity. Now, the eternity will be something that's too long. It's something that we could never have any patience for. But patience is something that's very, very important for our lives. And let me try to illustrate a little bit about that. The words patience in the New Testament, there are two words used for it. The word that's used in Galatians 5:22 is makothumia. This word means it's a very patience toward people. Now, patience, this word, patience, it starts with P-A-T-I, right? And it has a Latin, that's a Latin word. It has a Latin root. That word, pati, means it's suffering, means pain, endure. In the Chinese words, patience has a character, Chinese words are little characters, funny characters, right? It has a heart and has a dagger on the heart. It always signifies suffering, that it's something that you endure. And so that's maybe the reason we don't like patience. But patience, you have to know, patience actually, when it comes into our lives, there's basically four sources. They're all good sources. That's why I think it's important for us to learn to be patient. One is that the patience is really derived from love, really derived from faith, derived from wisdom, and derived from hope. Let me go into each of these points briefly. The reason we can have patience, the first reason is that we have hope, a sure hope. If you don't have hope, it's very difficult for you to have patience. If patience, someone who is patient and reflects in their life, there are certain hopes in them. Romans 8:25, it says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. if we hope. This word hope, our peace, is not sort of I hope, I wish, sort of a lottery hope. No, it's a sure hope. What kind of hope is a sure hope? When in the morning you get up, it's still dark. You say, well, I wonder when the morning will arrive. I hope the morning will arrive. The morning will arrive. As you wait, you get surer and surer the morning is coming. That's sort of a hope. This is the word that's used here. So it's a sure hope. It's a sure hope. Once you have such a hope in your heart, then you have patience. It's like a farmer says in James 5:7. Farmers waits for the land to yield its crop patiently. Why? Because they have hope. They know that as they wait, good things will come out. So if you have no hope, so to speak, or no sure hope, then you cannot be patient. The Chinese puts a lot of emphasis on studying. They say, well, if you are willing to study by a cold window for 10 long years, that's how the proverb goes, and then you'll be known throughout the whole world, that is China, that is, if you really become a scholar, you'll be respected. And that's a very well-known proverb for people who understand these things. But studying is something that you are patient because you have a certain hope that's associated with this activity. If we have the hope for eternity, if we know that our light and momentary troubles that we're suffering now are achieving for us the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So if this hope in our heart is very bright, is very sure, then we look at our experience in this life completely from a different perspectives. We want to preserve that hope more than anything else. And we interact with each other in a different ways because we know that we are masterpiece of our Lord, as we read in the scriptures in Ephesians. We are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. But we look at each other and say, what kind of masterpiece are you? You're pretty sort of a crude. Yes, but God is working in our lives as time goes on and on, and our lives being transformed by His Spirit and by His work, and we become more and more perfect. And if we have such a hope that Lord is actually transforming our life, then we look at each other, we interact with each other with a different ways. We become much more patient with each other. So I think Mrs. Billy Graham, who said, when I die, I want to be inscribed on my gravestone, the epitaph saying, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. Now God has done all His work on me. Now this is the end of the construction. She died. I don't think she died yet. Thank you for your patience. We need to be patient with each other. Why? Because of seeing, we have a hope that's not seen, but we know it's sure. It's there. And so once we have hope, we can have patience. We can have patience. And patience relates to faith. The more faith we have in God, the more patient that we allow ourselves to be. And it's much easier for us to be patient as well. In Hebrews 6:12, it says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We read in scriptures and say, well, God has promised a lot of things to us. If we pray, if we do this, if we do that, there seems to be a tremendous amount of blessings that store for us. And how do we receive those blessings? How do we inherit those blessings? And the scripture says, we can only inherit those blessings or receive those blessings through patience. And faith. These are two ingredients. It's really the same thing of the two aspects of the same thing. If you have patience, if you have faith, then you can be patient. You have patience. There was a story, a very telling story in the Old Testament, a king, the first king of the Jewish people by the name of Saul. Now, you remember there's a war that's going on at the time. So Saul led 3,000 of his army. At that time, the the Jewish people didn't have the technology to make iron. And so they don't have any real weapons. They don't have any swords. The whole army has only two swords, Saul and his son Jonathan. And other than that, they have crude weapons. 3,000 of them, and they're facing this enemy, this Philistines. And Philistines has high technology. It's sort of like the American today. They have tanks, that's called chariots. They have 3,000 chariots with 6,000 charioteers. I mean, this is the armored division, right? And they have 3,000 people, and those guys have 3,000 chariots and 6,000 charioteers and a lot of other soldiers. So, as they wait in the Gilgal, they say, well, let's see now. How can we fight them? The old prophet Samuel says, well, you wait there for 7 days, and I'll come, and I'll offer the sacrifices to the Lord, and the Lord will be with us, and he'll make sure that that will be victorious. So King Saul says, all right, let's wait. And the people say, well, this is dangerous. Those guys have some real weapons, and they're much more numerous than us. Are we going to stay here and die? So they start to run away. So the Saul says, well, people are running away. What do I do? 7 days, 7 days. And where's Samuel? No Samuel. No sacrifice. And how can we be victorious? He said, right, all right, bring up the sacrifices and I'll do it myself. You read that in 1 Samuel chapter 13. It's not in that exact words, but you get that idea. Now, as Samuel started to offer the peace offering, there's a burnt offering and there's a peace offering. So the first part of the offering is the peace offering. He offered the peace offering. And here came Samuel. So Samuel said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You have been a foolish man. He cannot be patient, waiting a little bit more, because the Lord has specifically told him that there are several reasons behind it. One of them is that offering is not something that Samuel should be doing. It's a service that's offered, rendered by the priest, by the prophet, not the king. But anyway, he was slightly impatient, you may say, that because of this impatience that his kingdom was taken away from his hand. In all our lives, I think we all experience some of that situation, that we become antsy, impatient. We're unsure whether what we've been hoping for will come. I give you my own story. You already get the idea that I'm not a very patient man. But sometimes our faith in the Lord overrides that natural tendency. I'll tell you a story briefly. I was, at the time, this occurred in 1976, 75. So it's a long time ago. Many of you, I know, hasn't born yet, but the time exists. I was there. And I had, at the time, working in a university in Pittsburgh. It's a temporary teaching position, and I was very anxious of getting something more permanent. And there was a interview at Exxon Research Company. At that time, this energy crisis, and Exxon has a lot of money then, as they do now, and they decided that they were going to build a Bell Labs of the oil industry. That is to do basic research and really do something useful. So they start to interview physicists. And as I go and interview there, I had a very clear sense that the Lord is leading me back to New Jersey. I was teaching at Rutgers before I went to Pittsburgh. I was complaining to the Lord, how come you sent me away from New Jersey? I want to serve you here. What are you doing? And the Lord sort of in that 3 years taught me a lot of lessons, and so when that interview came, I knew that interview is really between me and my Lord. So my Lord wants to interview me again. He said, well, you complain a lot when you leave here, now you are coming back. Do you still hold to your original conviction or dedication that you're going to serve me here? So it's an issue for me to settle with the Lord, to rededicate myself to him. And so when I came back after the interview, I knew that I've settled this with the Lord and I'm ready to serve him and not complain again. And I will serve him. I'll serve him. So I said, well, I know that they have, I will be working in that exam. And the guy who interviewed me, who was to be my future boss, he said, in 7 days, I'll call you. Now, this is the 7 days thing. In 7 days, I'll call you. So, that was a Wednesday that I was interviewed when I came back. On Wednesday, that's the day the phone should call. So I saw the pace around the phone and not leaving the office too far so I can pick up the phone quickly. 4:30, that's the time the Exxon lab closes. No phone. The phone didn't ring. So I said, do I really believe that the Lord has called me back to serve in New Jersey? I said, I have such a clear sense that the Lord is doing that. If that is the case, why am I so anxious? So I said, all right, I'm not going to call him. I'm not going to be anxious. Now, the only way I can prove to myself or to anyone else that I'm not anxious is that I'm going to sit down and write a paper. So I start to write the paper on the critical phenomenon of carbon dioxide. Actually, it turned out to be a very important paper. I start to write that paper. I got into it. I wrote for about 2 hours. The outline came out, and the phone rang. That's 6:30. The phone rang. He said, oh, you're still there? I said, yes. That we are I'm happy, very happy to call you because I want to offer you something. At that time, I know I'm not anxious when I was sort of a little bit diverting myself to do something else, but I'm not anxious. This sort of patience derives from a basic faith we have in the Lord. If you trust in your Lord, a lot of situations will resolve itself. You will not be as impatient or anxious about things. So I think there's another source of our patience is from our derived from faith. We want instant results. These days we want instant results. That's why we don't like to pray. We pray, we close our eyes, we open our eyes, the mountain's still there, and things didn't change. So what's the use? Because we demand instant result. We have no faith in him that he will work things out. If we pray for sickness and he's still sick, we're not interested in that. We want to see instant result. We pray and he's healed. Then we say, ah, hallelujah, that meeting I want to go to. You just regular Wednesday night prayer meeting? Nah. No. If we have faith in the Lord, we look at all activities differently. Patience derives from hope. Patience derives from faith. It's a reflection of what's inside of us. That's why the Holy Spirit has to work in our lives, change our lives, so that we can have patience. If patience is not something you grit your teeth, I'm patient, I'm being patient. You're not being patient. When you're being patient, you don't know you're being patient. You just are patient. But there are always paths for us to train ourselves, to learn, and to remind of ourselves where we are at this moment in our lives. And script, I mean, I still recommend gritting your teeth, but I hope as time goes on, that will occur less and less. The third source of our patience comes from love. People who have love usually are very extremely patient. A young man who's in love waits for his girlfriend, he waits, he smiles, he thinks of a good thought, and the girl may be late for 30 minutes, and that's nothing. Time flies so fast. You know what I'm talking about, right? I hope. But when there's no love, I mean, 5 minutes, what is this? And so you see there's a lot of patience from others towards their kids. And you see a lot of patience from God who loves us towards us. I've been preaching the gospel all over, and very often they run into people who challenges God. I mean, I'm sure you run into them as well. You say, I don't believe in a true God. I said, well, why not? He said, I can prove to you that God doesn't exist. I said, how do you prove? He said, well, God, if you exist, strike me dead right now. This is God, because he can't do anything he wants. Strike me dead. He said, after a moment, said, I'm alive. There's no God. I prove there's no God. I usually say, well, you didn't prove there's no God. You just prove God is love and He's patient. And that's in the Scriptures. It's in the Scriptures. In 2 Peter 3:9, He, referring to Christ, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why He has been patient with us. And God loves us, and that love has reflected in very often in His patience. So very often we're very impatient about injustice. Those are bad people. These bad people. How come they still are alive? I mean, why don't they just fall dead? I mean, these people have no right to live, right? We have such thoughts. But those thoughts are not the thoughts of our Lord. Through love, we see patience. And if you read about the definition of agape love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the list for description of love, love is patient, love is kind. Remember that? It starts with patient and ends with patient. Love always perseveres or endures or patient. The Chinese translation, exactly the same word. Love starts and ends with patience. If you think you have love, show me your patience. From the prodigal son story, we see father's love towards this unworthy son who took his money, sort of squandered it, and came back to his father. His brother was very mad at this kid, but his father welcomed him with open arms. Why is the father so patient towards him? Because he loves him. I've personally known people in this church who have prayed for her husband's salvation. She continued to serve, continued to being laughed at. Oh, it was 20th century. You are still believing in this sort of things. And the husband's a well-educated man. We don't know how to preach the gospel to him. 20-some years, this man now is a Christian. Love is patient, so it overcomes. Like the little water that flows. You give it a little years. I just came back from Los Alamos 2 weeks ago, and they led me to a mesa. Los Alamos is a secret city. They made atomic bombs many years ago. So it's very high on the mountains, about 7,000 feet high, and not enough oxygen, so I wasn't too comfortable there. They led me on the mountain, mesa top. They said, well, this is a Rio Grande down here. Oh, there's a big river down here, and there's a big canyon. They said, well, this river, they told me some million years ago started to flow, and now they carve a deep canyon. And the water doesn't seem to have much power, but if you let them to work its magic, so to speak, over the time, a lot of things can happen. All right, so we know that patience results from our hope, from our faith, from our love, and patience is simply just being good sense. It's sort of a sign of wisdom and maturity. So you don't have to be a Christian to know that it's important to be patient. Everyone knows it's impatient. Needs to be patient. If you have some wisdom, you have grown up somewhat. Only little kids doesn't want to be patient. Kids want it now, right? So if you are still like that, you are really haven't grown very far yet. It's a sign of maturity or wisdom. And so sex before marriage, that's immaturity. That's impatient. That when we are not willing to wait for things to happen in our lives, that's always a way of saying that we haven't really grown yet. We don't know how to be patient. Abraham didn't learn that lesson well, so he got into trouble. His offsprings fight each other till this day. In Proverbs 19, it says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. A man's wisdom gives him patience. So patience actually has a root in wisdom. The Chinese verb said, a little impatience spoils a big plan.
Can you translate that into proper Chinese? A little impatience spoils a great plan. So if you have a great plan, you're smart. So if you are smart, you know it's important to have patience sometimes, because of impatience, you spoil the whole thing. Augustine says, patience is the companion of wisdom. So there's a clear relationship, connections between patience and wisdom. And as I said, you don't have to be a Christian to know this. People know that. Margaret Thatcher knows this. Margaret Thatcher said, I can be extraordinarily patient provided I get my way in the end. The source is all different. An ordinary man, a man usually works for themselves, considered only for his own benefit, is self-centered. Patience can see its way also. In order to get what he wants, he can be patient because he's somewhat smart, right? So patience does not have spiritual components. It also has sort of a common sense component to it. And I very often wonder why I'm so impatient. It's sort of so dumb to be so impatient. It's not good to my health either. And so a Christian, okay, so a Christian, I look at the clock and say, I have plenty of time. I look at this and say, no, I don't have plenty of time. We have this communion thing here. So let me not try your patience. Let me bring this to some sort of conclusion. Patience, a Christian patience, is a sign of our internal faith, who has a clear goal and who has a sure hope. And a Christian patience derives from love, of God, from love or his love for other people. So he's willing to be patient. And he can wait, patiently wait, because that's also a wise and the smart thing to do, if you wish. It's different from the patience that one has sort of in the flesh, which has itself as its center. So the source of impatience is also self. And so sometimes the patience sort of we have for ourselves also derived from our flesh, and that in the end will not work. There are many stories which I cannot tell you now, especially Chinese stories about great people who seem to have a great patience. Once they achieve what they want to achieve, they lose everything. Because they become totally impatient. These are little people who become great personalities, and then you see its true nature. They are very impatient. Up with his head! Those are the words often issued from those kings. So patience, like charity, I encourage you, it should start from home. So be patient with your family members, teenagers, especially be patient with your parents. They are actually smarter than you think. If you wait a few years, you'll discover how smart they actually were. And parents, I mean, when you get to that point. Actually, this is a famous quote. I just sort of a paraphrase for somebody said, when I was 20, 18, my dad was so dumb, he doesn't know anything. When I was 28, it's surprising how much that my old man has learned in 10 years. But anyway, be patient with your parents, and parents, be patient with your teens. There's only a small phase. I mean, they won't be teens forever, hopefully. 5 years or so, they'll be out of it. And be patient with them. Be patient with them. Patience starts at home. Number two, patient with yourself. St. Francis de Sales says, have patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. I'm learning that. I'm trying to be patient with myself, because every time I look at my life, I say, how come I still like that? And I'm very disappointed very often, and I will learn so well. Everything grows up slowly. The spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, being a fruit, also takes time to grow. And I must be patient, like the patience of the farmer, to let things come to fruition. Patient, be patient with yourself. Give yourself a chance to grow. Number three, brothers and sisters, be patient with each other in the church. There seems to be a lot of imperfections in our lives, but we are unfinished work by the Lord. So Let's encourage each other. Let's be patient with each other. Also in this way that we learn also that God to work in our lives. Teach us the lessons to be patient. In James 5:9 says, don't grumble against each other. This is basically a lesson in patience. Romans 15:5 is, may the God who gave endurance or patience and encourage you to give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. In this patience towards each other, we can realize the unity in the body. We will come to the table momentarily to again to be reminded ourselves we are one in Christ. And this one is achieved by God's grace and also through our own patience with each other. And lastly, we need to be patient with the Lord. The flesh wants things and wants it now, but if you read in the scriptures, like Psalm 130, my soul wants for the Lord more than watchman waits for the morning. We wait for the Lord. We have to learn to wait for the Lord. Actually, the future is downstream of time, right? Future is downstream. It's not yet here. So whoever that waits is really waiting for the Lord. You'll always be waiting for the Lord. So that's why you can be patient. The future is in God's hand. So if you know that whenever you are waiting for the Lord, then you may be learned from the psalmist, Psalm 37. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still before him. Okay, some people who think they are patient, but they are very noisy. And that's not real true patience. Okay, be still before the Lord and wait for him patiently. You'll see that God will bring good things in our lives, or the things that's good and it's intrinsically good to our lives. Being patient is different from being passionless. Sometimes we think being patient, I just sit there and wait. That's not true patience. Patience, there must be hope that burns bright in your heart. Faith that's firm, and that is trust that the Lord will do things and cause you to act as well. And the patience is not something that you doesn't care for anything, but because you cares greatly. And so don't confuse patience with inactivity or passionless. Last night I was at a wedding banquet. An old friend of mine whose son was getting married, and we're very happy to go to that wedding to see them, and all the other friends, they came to that wedding party, and we had a great time in West Orange on the Maple Farm. If you live there, you might know that place. And the dinner is sort of late at 10:30, the salad hasn't come. 10:30 p.m. So I decided it's time to go home. West Orange is an hour from home. So I said goodbye to my hosts, to my friends. They said, why do you want to go home so early? I said, I have another appointment in the morning. There's another feast I'm invited to. I want to prepare for that. It's not that I'm impatient with them, the dinner's late, but because of something else that's even more greater that attracts me. Away from that banquet, come before you. So I don't have to go home too late. I can prepare for this message I'm sharing with you, to review the message, and most of all, we come to God's table. God has invited us to his table. Christ said, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. This is a great, what we call sacrament. Sacrament is a visible sign of invisible grace. Don't overlook the grace that's inherent in the simple gathering before the table and the receiving of the elements, the bread and the cup. Because in there, God has showed us how much he has loved us and how much we belong to him and how much we belong to each other. as we come to this table, let's unite our hearts before Him and thank Him and love Him. Lord, I pray that You will help us to be mindful of Your death and of Your resurrection. We proclaim Your death. We're proclaiming that You loved us. We proclaim Your death. We're proclaiming that we are one in You. I pray that as we gather before Your table, that Your heart may also be satisfied to see Your children gathered before You. Father, our hearts belongs to You, and we want to say to You, Lord, we love You. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.